Yeah.
I kind of, I just like some of your comments on the thought that I was having, not really a question, but I guess that means it's, when you have a material attachment, it would be very beneficial for you to take joy in getting that, and just having love and being in the beautiful way is something that you feel very attached to yourself, and knowing that it brought you joy, that you can give it to someone else and maybe it will bring you more.
Yeah, so you're asking if when we're attached to something, one way of working with it is actually thinking that this object brings me joy, and so if I give it to somebody else, it would bring them joy. And don't I feel happy doing that? Yeah, that's another very good way to think of it. Yeah. But one warning about that is if you then have a lot of investment and then feeling joy because you like the object, they might not. Yeah? Who was it? Was it you or was it Peter Aronson telling me about when they had a garage sale? And they were selling their stuff? And, you know?
It was Peter.
Because he had all these things, you know, that were so meaningful to him. Yeah? This was a souvenir from this, and this was a souvenir from that. And, you know, this is something, you know, Aunt Matilda gave me that I've cherished since I was a kid. And you're having this garage sale and all these people are coming and looking at it. That's all this old junk, you know. Make us not old junk, you know. This is like really beautiful, meaningful stuff, you know. So even though we're selling it and giving it away, it's like we want people to understand that, you know, this was the t-shirt I got from my trip to France when I was 25, when, you know, and to them it's just, it's not that. It doesn't have any of that emotional stuff in it. Yeah? So if you don't have that, it's the expectation that they're going to value the thing as much as you do. That you just have this joy, and you know, this was something meaningful to me, and like how nice it is that I can share it with others, and, you know, may it bring them happiness, and if it doesn't, that's okay too. Actually, that's another technique I find, you know, when I'm very attached to something, is when I do the mandala offering, I imagine offering it to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Okay. Because some things we're attached to, but we still use them, you know. And it's not like we can instantly give away every single thing that we're attached to. Yeah. So there's many things that we continue to use, and we have to continue to use, even though there might be some degree of attachment to them. But what we do is we offer them in the mandala as a way of, you know, cutting our attachment to them. Okay, we offer them to the three jewels as a way of cutting our attachment. Mm-hmm. But you still use them.
So it's more of a specific question. So let's say I want to pretty much, you know, keep a sort of a little pile of clothes that is just enough for me to have a, you know, change in the week and the rest of the clothes which I've acquired over the years I want to give away. So I take it to Dowdy Village, which is a store where they've marked out all the clothing to very cheap prices, $5, and that's where I tend to just get my clothing. And so I want to give all this clothing, but I want to donate it. Can I do a mandala offering and give it? But I'm you know, giving it, you know, to, you know, I'm offering it to, you know, sort of like, I'm physically offering it to this place, you know, a more religious, spiritual
sense. Right. So you can still, if you want to give something physically, you can still, in your mind, include it in the mandala and offer it, and then still give it physically. Because in the mandala, what you're doing is really offering the beauty, You know, so you're giving away the beauty. And you can also offer things in the mandala that don't belong to you, because remember, the mandala is mental. So if you're, you know, going down the street and you see something nice in a shop window, instead of rushing in and buying it, we can just put that in the mandala and offer it. Okay? Or, you know, all the beautiful nature we see around us. Yeah, we can offer that. Yeah, so it's a very nice way of doing things. So it's really quite important to understand this properly, so we don't go to extremes. Yeah, that cutting attachment is working with the mind. Yeah, and that it doesn't mean that we have to go around naked with no clothing and no place to sleep and no medicine, because every time you have anything, you're attached to it. I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah. And so, you know, the main thing in our Dharma practice is to look at what are the big attachments that really make my mind go way, way off and really get me into trouble. And work with those. Okay? When you're attached to small things, you can just notice it and, you know, realize there might be some attachment there. And don't let it get any bigger. But don't start criticizing yourself because you're attached to something. And don't start thinking you have to give absolutely everything you own away in some kind of remedy. Yeah, like that. You know, I'm going to knock it off the table because I'm giving it away. Yeah? Okay? Because sometimes we really go to extremes this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for example, we can notice it's cold outside and I put my jacket on. And then you say, oh, I really don't want to take my jacket off. I'm attached to feeling nice and cozy in my jacket. Well, that's bad, you know. And I'm so bad because I'm attached to this warmth in this warm jacket, and so I rip it off my shoulders, and I'm going to get my t-shirt as well, and I'm going to be out in the snow to get rid of my attachment. You know, that's not what we need to do. Okay? Yeah? So we look at, you know, it can be very helpful to just look in your life and what are the big attachments that really make you do unethical things? And what are the big attachments that really get your mind all twisted up and confused and full of craving and longing and dissatisfaction? You know, work with those first. Because those are the, you know, the big trouble makers. It's like if you have cancer and then you get a cold, you know, which one, what are you going to put most attention on? Yeah? It's not going to be the cold, is it? You're going to take care of the cancer. That's the bigger deal. Okay? So just some way of working with our mind, you know, without pushing, without torturing ourselves, without going to extremes, you know, but just working with this mind and getting it in the right direction. And, okay? And I think really using wisdom to counteract our attachment. Because, you see, sometimes if we don't counteract it with wisdom, then we might get rid of the object, but our mind is still very involved in it. Yeah? So, you know, it's like you're craving, 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 and it's like, oh, I'm craving less, that gets us away. But then your mind's still thinking about it all the time. You know? That's not working. So you really have to use the wisdom. Sometimes the attachment to certain things is so strong that you keep a distance from it because you know that when you're around it, you go crazy. Yeah? So you just wisely keep a distance from it. Yeah? And then you work with your attachment because, you know, because you need some space. Okay, so that happens too, and you know, in relationship to some objects where our mind just goes way out of whack. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I was thinking about how
I feel like I don't want to attach to people, and some of those people, you know, are people I really love and I want to have in my life, but I can see how even like attachment to my family and my friends, I can see how attachment has brought about problems in those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that there's something or they're always going to be around in a certain way or level or whatever. And I was wanting to give you advice about, you know, you have having a relationship with those loved or with a friend, but how do you kind of counteract your attachment? But I can see my mind sometimes starting to do this. My friend is so wonderful. What do you have any specific advice for that kind of?
Okay, so attachment to people, specifically friends, and when we're exaggerating and all that, friends are wonderful. Okay, so you know, one way is to ask ourselves, you know, the reason that we're giving, why they're so wonderful, are they always going to have that quality? You know, so that works very well for good looks. Now, when you're attached to somebody because they're good looking, are they always going to look like that? Mm-mm. Okay. Another way is to just appreciate that quality, but without being attached to it. Okay. And you know, I think appreciating people's good qualities and feeling grateful for them, and using their good qualities as a model for us for how we want to develop, that's quite nice. You know, you see a good quality in somebody and you say, wow, that's nice, you know, how that person treats people or how they do this or that. And it's a good quality and I want to develop it myself. And so you see it that way and, you know, and work at developing it yourself. But then with friends, you know, and it's just so interesting with other people because with people especially, it gets very complicated because we so easily build up an image of who that person is. And then we fall in love with the image and not with the person. We confuse the image with the person. Yeah? And so I think, you know, it's kind of the same process that you have as you're growing up, because when we're really little, it's like our parents can do no wrong. Yeah, our parents are always there and they protect us and we just idolize them and whatever, you know, we're just so dependent on them and love them so much. And then as we get older, we begin to see that they have problems and they have faults. And it's kind of a shock. Yeah? It's kind of a shock. And sometimes we don't know how to handle seeing that. All these people that were so wonderful and like always took care of me and did everything right and gave me what I wanted. Oh, they have problems and they get stuck and they have faults. And how did that happen? Yeah? And I think it's one of the things as we grow up that is a real, you know, it's a big step of learning for us. Yeah? That this person, these people that we thought were wonderful, aren't everything we thought they were. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the, maybe one of the reasons why sometimes relationships with parents can be difficult, is because unless we give up this expectation that they're going to be perfect, then we're always going to be unhappy. Yeah? Whereas if we give up this expectation that our parents are perfect, and hey, they're just human beings who were kind and who did the best they could, but they're certainly not perfect. If we can see them in that light, then, you know, our transition to adulthood, I think, becomes much easier. Yeah.
I'm going to talk to you. What I can say to someone I know is in a sort of unhealthy way attached to me. There's someone in my life who, whenever I see them, wants to just spend hours, 24 hours, you know, and that they also I'm the only person that's like good in their lives, that every time I'm with them that goodness happens and they're happy and they don't know what would happen if I wasn't there. And I feel really uncomfortable because, you know, I want to say, I don't know how to be kind and say I really appreciate you, but I think that this is who I am, and I really, really want you to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want, it's hard for me to be in charge of, like, giving you everything. Like, it's difficult for me. It brings me to sort of, like, I feel like I suffer sometimes, because I start thinking, like, oh, I have to, like, do this and make this person happy, and, you know.
Okay, so when somebody's really attached with us, tells us we're the only wonderful thing in their life, want to spend so much time with us, and then you're saying you feel under a lot of pressure to fulfill their expectations, and yet you don't want to be with them that much, and you know you can't fulfill their every need. Yeah. Is the person you're thinking about a friend or a relative? Okay, because it's just a matter, I think, of being very clear with other people. I heard a story, you know, because sometimes people do this to spiritual mentors, and they put them on a throne, you know, on a pedestal, and you know, they can't do any wrong. So the abbess of Shasta Abbey, whenever she saw people idolizing her, she used to take out her dentures and put them on the table. Yeah, you know, so just cut it, you know. Yeah, so it's hard sometimes with those people. First of all, you have to realize that their happiness is not your responsibility. Yeah? Your responsibility is your behavior and your integrity. Yeah? But it's not your job to please them and to be everything that they want you to be. That's not your job. Okay? And that just makes for really unhealthy relationships, you know, when people are trying to please the other person and neither one of them are doing what they really feel good doing, but they're all doing it because they're doing it because they think the other people want that. So I think it's very important to be very genuine in those situations and be very clear with the person. And, you know, I like doing this and I don't like doing that, and I will do this but I won't do that. Yeah. So, you know, I think that the key thing is, in your mind, don't get hooked. Yeah, or they may have a hook, but if you don't have a ring, okay? So then you can be polite, you can be courteous, you can be kind, but you don't get hooked into it, feeling like you need to be something for them when you can't be. So this kind of bewilderment or ignorance that doesn't understand karma, how to get a sense of that. It can just be watching when you have decisions to make. What are your criteria for making those decisions? Yeah? Or if you feel conflicted about a decision that you're about to make, you know, again, what is operating? How am I looking at that situation? How am I framing it? Like, okay, there's a situation where if I lied, I could get some benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't lie, I won't get that benefit. And I'm sitting there going, well, should I do it? You know, there's a lot of benefit to be gained from this. And it's only a small lie, but there's a big benefit. And then I could, you know, use some of this stuff for the Dharma. And... yeah? So if you find there's some decision where your mind's, you know, like this, then look, you know, how am I thinking of it? Well, why am I saying to myself, well, it's just a little lie with a big benefit?
So it's influencing how
we
make
our choices
kind of
now. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah. Okay. But again, look for the outstanding examples, yeah, because those, again, are the ones that really lead us into trouble. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know, I always wanted to look successful with my family, and now they're asking me to go into business with them, and the business doesn't look so good, but I feel a lot of pressure to do it, but then the business seems like it's a little bit not totally, you know, clean, clear, but there's this pressure and I want them to like me, and that way I'll look successful in their eyes. Yeah. So at that moment, am I considering the, you know, the karmic effects of getting into a shady business? Or am I just kind of running with the attachment to what my family thinks of me? That's a quiet one.